Book 6, Chapter 7. What afterward befell the seditious when they had done a great deal of mischief, and suffered many misfortunes. As also how Caesar became master of the upper city. 1. And now the seditious rushed into the royal palace, into which they had put their effects, because it was so strong, and drove the Romans away from it. They also slew all the people that had crowded into it, who were in number about 8,400, and plundered them of what they had. They also took two of the Romans alive. The one was a horseman, and the other a footman. They then cut the throat of the footman, and immediately had him drawn through the whole city, as revenging themselves upon the whole body of the Romans by this one instance. But the horseman said he had somewhat to suggest to them in order to their preservation, whereupon he was brought before Simon. But he having nothing to say when he was there, he was delivered to Ardalus, one of his commanders, to be punished, who bound his hands behind him, and put a riband over his eyes, and then brought him out over against the Romans, as intending to cut off his head. But the man prevented that execution, and ran away to the Romans, and this while the Jewish executioner was drawing out his sword. Now when he was gotten away from the enemy, Titus could not think of putting him to death, but because he deemed him unworthy of being a Roman soldier any longer, on account that he had been taken alive by the enemy, he took away his arms, and ejected him out of the legion whereto he had belonged, which, to one that had a sense of shame, was a penalty severer than death itself. 2. On the next day the Romans drove the robbers out of the lower city, and set all on fire as far as Salome. These soldiers were indeed glad to see the city destroyed, but they missed the plunder, because the seditious had carried off all their effects, and were retired into the upper city. For they did not yet at all repent of the mischiefs they had done, but were insolent, as if they had done well. For, as they saw the city on fire, they appeared cheerful, and put on joyful countenances, in expectation, as they said, of death to end their miseries. Accordingly, as the people were now slain, the holy house was burnt down, and the city was on fire, there was nothing further left for the enemy to do. Yet did not Josephus grow weary, even in this utmost extremity, to beg to them to spare what was left of the city. He spoke largely to them about their barbarity and impiety, and gave them his advice in order to their escape, though he gained nothing thereby more than to be laughed at by them. And as they could not think of surrendering themselves up, because of the oath they had taken, nor were strong enough to fight with the Romans any longer upon the square, as being surrounded on all sides, and a kind of prisoners already, yet they were so accustomed to kill people, that they could not restrain their right hands from acting accordingly. So they dispersed themselves before the city, and laid themselves in ambush among its ruins, to catch those that attempted to desert to the Romans. Accordingly, many such deserters were caught by them, and were all slain. For these were too weak, by reason of their want of food, to fly away from them. So their dead bodies were thrown to the dogs. Now every other sort of death was thought more tolerable than the famine, insomuch that, though the Jews despaired now of mercy, yet would they fly to the Romans, and would themselves, even of their own accord, fall among the murderous rebels also. Nor was there any place in the city that had no dead bodies in it, but what was entirely covered with those that were killed either by the famine or the rebellion, and all was full of the dead bodies of such as had perished, either by that sedition or by that famine. 3. So now the last hope which supported the tyrants, and that crew of robbers who were with them, was in the caves and caverns underground, whither, if they could once fly, they did not expect to be searched for, but endeavored that after the whole city should be destroyed and the Romans gone away, they might come out again and escape from them. This was no better than a dream of theirs, for they were not able to lie hid either from God or from the Romans. However, they depended on these underground subterfuges, and set more places on fire than did the Romans themselves. And those that fled out of their houses thus set on fire into the ditches, they killed without mercy, and pillaged them also. And if they discovered food belonging to any one, they seized upon it and swallowed it down, together with their blood also. Nay, they were now come to fight one with another about their plunder. And I cannot but think that, had not their destruction prevented it, their barbarity would have made them taste of even the dead bodies themselves.